it's me, Lily, a frog who lives in a pond and loves to tell stories. There was once a little girl who loved her teddy bear just as much as any little girl has ever loved a teddy bear, which is to say, she loved the bear prodigiously, enormously, a lot. Even though children are small, their hearts are not at all, and everyone knows this. Children's hearts are spacious and wide open, like great towering castles built upon grassy highlands that sprawl in all directions and forever. And this girl's bear was easy to love. Her teddy bear was made of a dark brown faux fur, which was so silky it felt like a kitten's ears, or a butterfly in flight, or a dandelion turning to fluff. The bear's brown fur had a sheen to it, even in the scantest of light, and his eyes were charcoal black, and so was his large, molded plastic nose, which was so heavy that it pulled his whole snout downwards with gravity. Each of his four paws had the detail of suede leatherette pads plus five suede leatherette bare toes. But he did not have claws. He was perfect for cuddling in the dark caves the girl liked to make when she slept, under her covers, or for playing in the forts the girl liked to make in her home behind large pieces of furniture or in her backyard under the patio set or between the raised garden beds and the fence. What have you done with my good sheets now? Her mother would ask, and she'd lift them off of the new fort structure and shake them out in the harsh sunlight, instructing the now exposed girl and her bear to go play in the playhouse instead. The girl and the bear didn't love the playhouse. It was made of plastic and always too hot, unless it was raining, in which case water would seep through at every seam in the tiny structure. There was only one thing the girl and the bear liked about the playhouse, and that was that it had a little plastic stove with plastic burners and knobs and a plastic pot on it, and the girl liked to pretend to make oatmeal and to sit and share it with her bear, who she called Bear Bear. There was also a little boy who loved a stuffed fox, just as much as any little boy has ever loved any stuffy, which is to say, prodigiously, enormously, a lot. The boy's mother was a runner, and most days she'd put the boy and his stuffed fox in the double stroller beside his baby sister and run for 10K along the asphalt trails that wound through the city and went right past the little girl's backyard with its plastic playhouse and low chain-link fence. The baby mostly slept on the runs, and the boy mostly watched the lazy clouds drift by, or the traffic, or the birds flitting through the waving leaves and the tree boughs. But on this particular day, there was a breeze that was so soft and gentle, and the clouds were so indulgent and billowy and drifted by so, so lazily. And the traffic was slow and light, and the leaves were so green with the birds so easily and lazily flitting through their boughs that the boy fell asleep, even though his baby sister did not. She saw the boy release his grasp on his stuffed fox, and she reached for it with her little baby fist. And she babbled in triumph as she thrust it high above her head and then flung it far over the fence into the little girl's yard, where it fell behind the little plastic playhouse while the boy slept and their mother ran, concentrating only on her breath and her footfalls. Later, the boy woke in the jogging stroller to find his fox stuffy gone, and his mother said it must have fallen somewhere on the path and explained that they'd have to look for it tomorrow, and she was sure they'd find it then, but tonight they had to. They must go to Grandma's for dinner, and the boy could bring another stuffy with him, maybe his dino or this cute little raccoon. And on this very same day, the girl who loved her bear fell asleep at the swimming pool, where she sat on the bleachers with her mother watching her big brother's swim lessons unfold. On this day, the lesson was mostly about safely entering the pool, and the kids mostly sat on the edge of the pool, not getting in, but just talking about getting in and out of the pool, while the water made blue and white flashes of dancing light on the cinder block walls all around them, and her mother talked on her phone with her sister, and the splashing and whistling and shouting sounds of the pool seemed to get slower and slower, and the little girl put her head on her mother's lap just for a moment because her head seemed so heavy. And then she was surprised to feel her mother rubbing her shoulder and her arm like she did when it was time to wake up. And she realized that she was waking up, which must mean she had fallen asleep. She didn't remember that she had brought Bear Bear into the bleachers with her, and didn't remember that she had made a little cave for him out of her hoodie and hid him in there. And she didn't remember the hoodie when she left either. Who would? It was such a hot day that she and her mother didn't even hold hands as they made their way down the bleachers to meet her brother outside the change room after his swim lesson. The little girl didn't think about Bear Bear until after she had had dinner and showered and put on clean jammies and brushed her teeth and asked for a bedtime story before crawling into bed. Then she felt all around her covers for Bear Bear. And then she remembered about the cave and the bleachers at the pool and that he was still there. "We need to go get him," she told her mother. "He's never had to sleep alone before." "But we can't, sweetie," her mother explained. "The pool is closed. We'll have to wait until tomorrow, when we have to go back for another lesson anyway. I'm sure Bear Bear will still be there. I'm sure he'll be just fine. He has your hoodie to keep him safe." "And he's an apex predator," added the little girl. "That too," agreed her mother. The girl slept well, but the boy did not. He just knew that his fox, who he called Penny, was forever lost to him, and that when he and his sister and mom went on their 10K in the morning, they would not find his fox. And he was right. They looked and looked, but every time a flash of copper red caught his eye, it was something else, a rusty can or a piece of clothing tattered by the elements. How could they have known to look over the fence into the little girl's yard? How could they have known to look in the long grasses surrounding the little plastic playhouse? Of course, the boy wept. A boy does when he loses something he loves. And he loved Penny. The girl did not weep. She expected to find Bear Bear right where she'd left him, or to see him greeting her the next day from the lost and found cabinet at the pool. The swimming pool had a plexiglass cabinet that said "Lost and Found" on it in gold letters and was full of toys and keys and swim goggles and sometimes a sign that said "Lost a diamond ring? Describe it at the front desk to claim." It was the first thing you saw when you walked through the big heavy orange doors. The girl's heart sank a bit when they walked through the front doors and Bear Bear was not in the cabinet. "He must still be in the cave," she thought. Her brother went into the change room, and she and her mom walked up the stairs to the viewing area, and she made a beeline to the spot where the cave was. But it wasn't. Her hoodie wasn't there, and neither was Bear Bear. Then the girl cried. What she didn't know was that the Lost and Found was maintained by a particularly capable employee, Jay Lynn. Jay Lynn had been a lifeguard for 22 years at Carnation Pool, and in that time, the duty of Lost and Found became hers, solely hers, because she was so good at it. She knew when an item left poolside or in the change room was precious and should be held on to, even though it looked like tattered garbage, a child's chewed up and dragged through the dirt blankie, for example. She knew to set it aside for the frantic parent and distraught child who were sure to come back for it. And she knew when an item wouldn't be missed, too. And she didn't let those things pile up. That's why Bear Bear hadn't made it to the cabinet yet. He was waiting in a bin for Jay Lynn to sort through. Jay Lynn would be back in a few days' time. She was just off for a long weekend. But the girl didn't know any of this. She just knew the loss of her Bear Bear. And it made her restless and angry and doubt her own memory. It made her unsure. It made her not fall asleep like she normally would. It made her toss and turn and wake up much too early in the morning and think that maybe she had left Bear Bear in the playhouse. Maybe he was just waiting there for her after all. and she crept out of her bed while everyone else in the house was still sleeping. Even their big yellow Labrador retriever Sandy didn't open even just one eye as the girl snuck out into the backyard and to the playhouse to see if Bear Bear was making oatmeal there. When she looked inside the playhouse, it was empty, a terrible, dreadful sort of empty. And she sat on the cold, dewy bench, and she let her head fall into her hands in utter despair. Now, as you well know, there is a fairy whose work is to help toys who have been loved so much that they deserve to become real, become real. She is the nursery magic fairy who helped the Velveteen Rabbit. She knows when a loved toy is lost and needs her help. That is her magic. So while the girl didn't know that Penny the Fox was lying in the long grass just outside her playhouse window, the nursery magic fairy did. Penny the Fox summoned the fairy with one of her tears. She could see the little girl crying for her lost bear through the playhouse window, and the little girl's tears made Penny think of her boy, the boy who took her everywhere he went, on runs in the stroller, on errands in the car, to bed and to breakfast, up and down the stairs, up and down the elevator in their apartment building, to the park to play, and of course, up any tree the boy climbed. He was the best tree climber. And that made Penny the Fox think about how sad the boy would be to discover her missing. And a tear slid down her shiny green eye onto the dewy green grass. And where it landed, the flower fairy grew. Not at all like any other flower, with emerald green leaves and a blossom like a golden cup. And out of that golden blossom stepped the loveliest fairy, with a pearlescent dewdrop dress and a garland of flowers, and her face like the most perfect flower of all. And she kissed the little fox and gathered her in her fairy arms and said, "I am the nursery magic fairy. I take care of all the playthings that children have loved. When they are worn out or lost, I come to take them away and turn them into real." And the fairy began to lift up, up out of the grass, and the girl watched, astounded, but unafraid because of how beautiful and shimmering with golden light the fairy was. "But where are you taking me?" asked the fox. "To Teddy Bear Island," said the fairy, "where lost teddy bears go to become real. Now blink your eyes 3 times and touch my golden wings to fly away with me to Teddy Bear Island," said the fairy. And that is what Penny, the lost little fox, did. And that is what the girl who had lost Bear Bear did too. She wanted to go with the fairy to Teddy Bear Island to find her lost bear. Up, up they flew, and through the dawn light, which was turning from the darkest blue to a lighter and lighter sky blue, with fewer and fewer twinkling stars, and all the while, so much light was flying off of the flower fairy that she looked like a shooting star, until they all sat down on Teddy Bear Island. Teddy Bear Island is very large, with ice and snow in the north for polar bears, and rivers flush with leaping salmon for the black bears and brown bears and the grizzly bears and kodiaks, and flower-bedecked jungles for sun bears and bamboo forests for panda bears. And it isn't just bears who live there, because bears can't be bears without berries and fish and butterflies and bunnies and whole great forests alive with birdsong and squirrel chatter and the riotous buzzing of insects and choirs of frogs. The fairy kissed the little fox and said, "And now you are real." And Penny the Fox was. She could run and pivot and tumble and jump and dig. and she was delighted to find herself near a great fox burrow, with swift red foxes popping their heads up out of the holes in the ground and leaping into other holes and disappearing underground, but mostly urging Penny to come play. Come play with us. But what about the girl? Asked Penny. But the flower magic fairy had already gone. She hadn't noticed the girl had tagged along, so focused was she on the intense magic required to turn the toy fox into a real fox.
Bear, bear, cried the girl.
But the flower magic fairy had already gone. She hadn't noticed the girl had tagged along, so focused was she on the intense magic required of her to turn the toy fox into a real fox.
Bear, 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 where are you?
It was so strange to hear the voice of a girl there on Teddy Bear Island. It had been so long since any of the inhabitants had been close to girls and boys, but they all had at one point or another. They had all loved and been loved by children. There's no other way to be a bear on Teddy Bear Island, so every single one of them had a deep respect, an unwavering affection for children, and hearing the girl's pleading cry for her lost Teddy filled every single creature with a longing to help. Who is Bear Bear? Asked a cinnamon black bear.
Never heard of him, answered a spirit bear.
And all the little birdies in all the trees all over the island asked every single bear on Teddy Bear Island, are you Bear Bear? But the answer was always, no, I'm Cupcake, or I'm Booey, or I'm Lolo, or I'm Petey, or it's me, Tuffy, or Squashy, or Waffles, or Bun Buns, but there was no Bear Bear on Teddy Bear Island. He just wasn't there. Well, it was easy enough for the bears and the foxes and the rabbits to entertain the little girl so that she wasn't afraid or lonely or sad. Tuffy took her up the mountain to enjoy the splendid views of Bear Island from up there. They sat for a while pondering the intensity of the waterfall that plunged from the top to the bottom of the mountain in great thundering sheets of white water. And when she was tired, the bunnies gave her a good cuddle under a great shady oak tree. And when she was hungry, the bears offered her fresh-caught fish. But she shook her head sadly. No, the little girl did not eat whole, raw fish, and she didn't know how to prepare and cook fish on her own. And so the foxes picked berries for her delicately with their teeth. They picked wild blueberries and saskatoons and blackberries and all sorts of mushrooms too, chanterelles and shaggy manes and oyster mushrooms. But the girl didn't eat wild berries or mushrooms. Her mother and father had told her never, ever to eat anything she found in the woods without asking their permission first, and so she shook her head sadly. No. We need to get her home, said the spirit bear. Her bear bear isn't here. He must not be truly lost. It's the girl who is lost, not her teddy bear. Do you know your way home? Asked the spirit bear. Again, sadly, the girl shook her head no.
Summon the tooth fairy, growled a grizz, the largest one on all of Bear Island.
But how? He reached into his bear jaws with one of his bear paws, and there was a terrible cracking sound, and when he pulled his paw out, there was a great grizzly bear fang held aloft on his paw.
That hurt a little bit, he said.
Then he lay down, tucked the broken tooth under his head, and straightway began to snore in his grizzly bear sleep. A blue light began to emanate from under the bear, and soon a pretty fairy with gleaming white hair and pearlescent wings appeared. She opened a pearlescent leather pouch tied to a belt around her waist and dropped the great bear's fang into it.
Tooth fairy, said the spirit bear, we summoned you here to help this poor lost child.
I don't help lost children, said the tooth fairy. My gig is strictly lost teeth.
But, awake up, Waffles, said the spirit bear, shaking the grizzly awake.
Waffles, she says she doesn't help lost children.
Nonsense, grunted Waffles, the great grizzly bear. every fairy must help lost children. Do you or do you not have the most comprehensive database of dental records and home addresses on the planet?
Well, that's true,
admitted the Tooth Fairy.
I can cross-reference any tooth with any home, but if I tell you where this girl lives, I'm not going to leave money in exchange for your tooth.
Deal, said the grizzly. And the fairy asked the girl to open wide, looked at her molars, and said,
Oh, I know the house, with the low chain-link fence right next to the running trail.
And she opened up a zippered pouch on her waist, in which there was a droppered bottle of what looked like moonlight. And she summoned the nursery magic flower fairy by squeezing a single drop from the bottle onto the ground. And the beautiful golden flower grew out of the ground, opened, and the nursery magic flower fairy appeared. The bears explained the situation and told the fairy where the girl needed to go home to, and she agreed that a little girl should be home with her family. Not on Teddy Bear Island. But Teddy Bear Island magic is strong, and the only way in or out is with a stuffy that has been so loved that they have become real. I can't take a girl out without also taking the real back from a stuffy. One of you will have to go back with her. One of you will need to become a toy again. Well, every bear and creature on Teddy Bear Island was thinking now of the wild freedom of the place, the great wide-open meadows, and the high, cool peaks, the singing birds and the leaping fish and the sweet berries, the cold, clean water and the starry night skies. I'll do it, said Penny the Fox. I know this girl will love me enough that I can become real again. I'll gladly do it. And so it was that the girl flew back like a comet through the bright morning with a red fox clutched tightly in her arms and found herself sitting on the grass just outside her playhouse while her mother came running out of the front door of her house, frantically screaming her name. Then she saw her child, the girl, sitting calmly but sadly on the grass and asked, What are you doing out here? You scared me. You weren't in your bed. I didn't know where you were, and the mother hugged and kissed her daughter until her heart stopped beating too fast. And then she eyed the fox suspiciously. Where did you get this? She asked.
I found it in the grass right there. We went to Teddy Bear Island and back together.
And the mother lifted Penny the Fox from her arms and eyed the damp and dirty stuffed animal. Let's see how it does in the washing machine. And sure enough, Penny the Fox came out of the washing machine with a lush, fluffy tail with a bright white tip on it and a smart gleam in her eyes and the brightest tangerine-colored fur. And the mother hung her up on the clothesline in the backyard to dry before swimming lessons. And when the girl and her mother walked through the big heavy orange doors to the swimming pool, Bear Bear greeted them from the lost and found cabinet. And the girl hugged him tight and promised to never leave him behind anywhere again. And later that day, as the boy and his baby sister and the double jogging stroller did their familiar 10K down the winding path that went past the girl's backyard, the baby said her first word.
Penny,
she said, and giggled and pointed at the fox on the clothesline. And the mother stopped and went around to the front of the house to knock on the door.